our text, the scripture that I want to preach from today, and probably a little bit next week as well, is from the book of Philippians, and in particular, chapter 4, and I want to read a couple of verses. Philippians, chapter 4, 11 through 13. The Apostle Paul writes, I have learned, and we want to learn today, I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. So in the overview of things, this sermon is about being content. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what content means. Well, I don't know what it means in its entirety either. But contentment is being satisfied in all that God is for us and all that God has for us in Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk through that today in this period of time we have to fellowship together and to learn. But let me give you contentment again. And maybe you can ask yourself the question, am I content? Am I content in the amount of money I have? Am I content with my family? Am I content with my job? I believe that God created us to be content, not worried, not chasing after more and more, but he made us to be content in him. And contentment is being satisfied. It's not more money, more money, more money. Let me see my money. No, it's being satisfied in all that God is. Not all that you are, not all that you have, but it's being content, it's being satisfied in all that God has for you and is for you in Jesus Christ. And all that God has for us in Jesus Christ is more than we can imagine, and more than we can even have. Yet we've bought in to that more is better. We want bigger houses. We want better cars. We want our clothes to be better. And there's nothing wrong with having better, but when it becomes your obsession, when it becomes my obsession, then we've got a problem. And this problem is universal throughout the world. It was that way when the Apostle Paul wrote this. And he said, look, there's a remedy to this addiction we have. We are addicted to more, just as well if it was heroin. You say, oh, Pastor, drugs, yeah. We are drug addicts for more and more money, more and more things, because we think that we will be happy, that we will have, finally, we have arrived, I am content. I don't want no more, I don't need no more. No. That never happens. Don't let people lie to you about that. It's an addiction. And God wants us to be content and content in him. And again, I want to tell you what contentment means. It's being satisfied. Real simple. Say it with me, wherever you are. Contentment is being satisfied with everything that God is and has for us in Jesus Christ. And I think you will see that today. Hopefully you will. And we pray now, Father, that you open our minds and hearts as we read your word to see and understand that your contentment that you've given us is awesome. We want to experience that forever and ever and ever, Lord. So we ask you to bless us today. Open the eyes of our hearts to see this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, I'm going to read that prayer to you that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul's confession, which I hope one day is the confession of all of us. Not just saying amen, but living the amen. Paul said, I have learned. Are you ready to learn? Are you ready for school? God's school. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. Now, see, we don't want to go low. We don't want to, we want more money, not less, right? We want Morehouse, not just the college, Morehouse, but we want where we go to college to be more. Everything is more and more. More is not necessarily happy or joyous. And Paul said, I've learned this. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. If I'm just rolling up in a small house, to a small house, I'd be content with that. Because it's not what you own that makes you happy. It is he who lives in you. Because contentment is to be satisfied. See, you're rich when you're satisfied. You don't need no more. You don't want no more. But the person who is not content, is not satisfied, and is broke. I don't care what they've got stashed away, they're broke because their heart is never satisfied. I have learned, Paul said, and I want us to learn. Now, I keep saying I want us to learn. That means I want us to open our hearts and minds. I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. You say, but what if I'm broke, Pastor? Be content. That's the word of the Lord. And I know, he says, how to be brought low. Oh, we know low, no low. And I know how to abound. To like if you on a temp, what's it called? These things you get up and down, you bounce, the kids have them, and some of us big folks have them. We get on a trampoline, we bounce, and we go, we want to go higher, higher, higher. That's how our hearts are. And God said, I didn't create you for that. I created you for myself. And Paul said, I've learned this secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him, speaking of Jesus, who gives me strength. It's through him. It's not through the finance company that you owe $10,000 to on your car. It's not in that. It's in Jesus Christ. I have learned, are we learning, the secret of facing plenty. Oh, I like that secret. I got plenty. I got my house is full of food. My car is full of gas. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Give me the abundance, but not the need. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. God's provision, brothers and sisters. God's provision of day by day. Future grace of God. Being filled. I know how to be full. Sit there, have a meal. Stomach's big. You know, burping and all of that. Y'all don't do that, do you? No, nobody does it. Nobody does it. God's provision day by day. Future grace, in other words, enables Paul to be filled or to be hungry. You say, oh, I'm for the filled thing, but not the hungry. But Paul had learned to master being full and hungry. And God wants you and he wants me to master being full and hungry and happy. Yes. Hungry and happy, full and delighted. See, I take the full and delight, but not the hungry, not the hungry part. But until you master the hungry part, hunger has control over you because you'll do anything for a chicken McMuffin. Can I get an amen? You don't want to be mastered by food. It doesn't bring you health. It brings you sickness. I don't know how to be filled and hungry. To prosper. Amen for the prosper. Paul can get a whole lot of amens on that, right? A whole lot of us. Be filled, hungry, to prosper or suffer. To have abundance or go wanting. This is not a good chapter, Pastor. Yes, it is. Because God wants us to master this and not be the master of things and food, that we can do all things, we can control all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's my point. You can do all things. You, me, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And it's, we can soar. We can climb the mountain. We can be above it all. God wants good for us, but he does not want us mastered or slaves to what is quote unquote called good, like a lot of food, like a lot of car, like a lot of money in the bank. See, if you are content because of the amount of money you got in your bank, then money is your master rather than Jesus being our King, our Lord, and our Savior. This may touch us a bit. Hopefully it will. It's shaking me to examine myself and to ask myself, am I content? Am I living a life where things are my master? But God has declared in Philippians to us that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can master this. We all can master it. Give us strength in Jesus Christ. Because we've got some guarantees. In Hebrews chapter 13, Paul wrote, not only can we do all things, as we know in Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13, but God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not only will I give you things, and he's writing this to the Hebrews who were becoming Christians, Jews who were becoming Christians, done a lot of persecution. They were losing their homes. They were losing their jobs. Their money's gone. Because they profess faith in Jesus Christ. And Christ reminded them what he said to their forefathers when they left and went over Jordan. That I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. He says, I'm going to always be with you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to carry your sword to live. I am going to be there. And I will give you victory. I will never leave you. And not only will I be with you, I want you to know that I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means leave you naked, walk in the streets, you don't have nothing. No. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. And you can be at rest. You're no longer, you're not slaves anymore. Slaves to money. Slaves to sex. Slaves to this, to that, to marijuana. To this and the other honor. No. You're free. You're free at last. You're truly free at last. Because I'm with you. And I'm not forsaking you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Not only to the Jews then who are becoming Christians, but to us. That he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And God, the scripture says in Psalm, I think it's chapter 8 and 18. I'll get back with you next week on it. But that God has a tender heart for those who suffer. For those who maybe do not have. He has a tender heart towards you. And he gives you the strength to excel. He can do all things. He's given the ability through him to give us to do all things through us. Through Jesus, rather. I want us to listen to a song. You can sing along with it. Look at the words. And the song's entitled, if you haven't noticed, there's just about all the songs today have somewhere in the title, You Can Do All Things. I wonder why we put that in there. Because the Bible has shown us Old Testament, New Testament, that we can do all things through Christ. Notice, not on your own strength, but through Christ who gives you strength. You can climb that mountain. You can get to the top. Even if you're bruised, even if you're hurting, even if you think nobody cares for you or loves you, even if you have been made promises before, remember that God loves you and that he has made you a promise to never leave you nor forsake. I don't know who's hurt you. I don't know who's run out on you. God said, I won't leave you and I won't forsake you. I'm going to take care of you in all dimensions. So let's play that song. And I want you to think about it. I want you to think about, especially if you have been hurt in your life. Anybody ever been disappointed in your life? You can raise your hands in your mind or whatever. If you've gone through hard times, listen, God is very near to the broken heart. He's very dear to those who have been disappointed. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you what you've been looking for. Because God and God alone is the only one can give you what you've been looking for. A woman won't give it to you. A man can't give it to you. Whole big roll of money, won't give it to you. Only God can. You can do all things. Come on now. Let's play that song. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength.
Through my hills and valleys, every storm-tossed sea, I can feel my Savior so close to me. He leads me forward through paths unknown. And when my strength is gone, he heals my weary soul and shows me who I could be. He stays with me. Sinking in the waves, if I reach out for his grace, he will rescue me. I can do all things with the Savior by my side. I can climb to greater heights, find the strength I need. I can do all things with Christ. I can do all things. That desert, though it's far and wide, when I feel the hunger and I hear the lies, I will pray to heaven and the winds will cease. With my Savior as my guide, can do all things with Christ.
My brothers and sisters, do you believe? You know, God inspired Paul to write that. In Philippians, I want us to go to, as we begin to close, I want us to go now to the book of Romans. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I want you to see this other guarantee of God giving you strength. It's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And this I want you to know. I want you to know, as they say, that you know that you know. Romans 8, 28. And we know. Do you know? Can I get an amen? And we know that in all things, it's not just you doing all things, but Paul wrote in Romans 8, 28, and we know that in all things God works. Can you say that with me? God works. And God works for you, through you, and to you. Romans 8, 28. And we know we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be wishy-washy about it. We can be confident. And we know that in all things, that means in bad things and in good things. So we just want to do that. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. No, even in the bad times, through faith in Jesus Christ, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Do you know that? See, it is important to have that settled in your heart and mind so that when the lean times come, when the tough times come, when the bad reports come, you will be settled that God is at work for you, that in all things, good and bad, we want the good but not the bad, but God uses the bad even to shape us and to make us stronger. He's not through with us yet. He's still bringing us through tears and difficulty to mold us and shape us. You see, why can't we have a no more tears version? No, it don't work that way. I look out at the trees. I look at the leaves. They blow. And the reason why they blow is so they can get stronger. They can go this way, back and forth. Their branches become stronger. Their stalks become stronger. What you eat off the trees in the garden, it's better because of the wind that blows it. But know that God is at work. And he's working according to his purpose. Therefore, you can do all things. Whether climbing that mountain, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And now you know he is also in his almighty strength and power working on our behalf. God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Then what shall we say then to this? I mean, you know, after hearing this, do we just go our, you know, same old way? I hope not. Lord, do help us. Do change us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. If he didn't withhold his son. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son. Now the father loved his son Jesus. But in a sense, he loved you more. For he gave his son and his son's life for you over everything else. That's what he gave up. He gave up Jesus. Would you do that with one of your children, your only child? God did that for you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give you, give me, give us all things? Now, who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? Nobody. Nobody. Because the Father has given the life of his Son for you and for me. And those that God has chosen, God, it is God. Nobody can bring a charge against you and say, well, God, what, how can you help that so-and-so? And you know all of their sins and blah, blah, blah. But the devil will come and accuse you. And have you not knowing which way is up, which way is down. This way is up to the Father. And he says, who will bring any charge against a past sin of your past sins, mine? Who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? It is God who justifies. You know what justifies means? He declares you righteous. You're not righteous. You're not holy. You never will be until you're transferred into the kingdom of God. But God accepts you. God brings you into his family. And he, being God and having given his only son, he justifies you. That means he declares you righteous and holy forever and ever. And nobody can take that away. And when he sees you, he sees righteousness. He sees holiness. He sees his son. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Through God who works in you. And I want you to think about this. If God has given you all those things and even gave his son for you, how can you not be blessed? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and rest in him. Father, I pray. I ask you through your word, according to your word, working through us and in us, that you will save those who are listening. You open their minds and hearts, and that they will receive the great blessing of salvation that you have paid for. Thank you, Father, for all you've given to us. And we ask you now in Jesus' name that you will heal, that you will save, and that you will strengthen all who come to you in faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I beckon you. Again, I say, come to Jesus and rest. Come to Jesus and live. Come to Jesus and have all of your sins forgiven. And not only that, God promises to give you, no matter your past, no matter how you're living now, but he's promising to give you new life. And to give you a new heart where you no longer cherish and hunger for sin. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest from your ripping and running, trying to find fulfillment in drugs, alcohol, illicit relationships, you name it, it's out there. And the big lie is that if you have all of that and all the money and all the things and all the reputation that goes with it, then you will have rest. Then you will finally be at peace. But that's a lie. That's a lie. Your worth and your value, you were created in the very image of God, not to have your life thrown away, but God created you in his image to represent him. And all of his goodness and all of his wonder. And to enjoy life, really enjoy life. Through the life of Jesus Christ. And you are so blessed to be able to receive. Because there's nothing, nothing that's greater, more valuable than life in Jesus Christ. Come to Him. We're going to sing a song, as you are wondering of what I've just said. Hopefully you're analyzing it. Hopefully you're thinking about it. Well, hey, maybe there's a point to that. Ask God to open your heart and mind. Father, I ask you to call those that you love and desire. I ask you, Father, to call the hurting, the misunderstood. People don't know whether they're going or coming, or whether they're this or they're that. And they've bought into the lies. They have been deceived. And I pray that you would give them a heart to understand, a mind to desire you, and that you would give them a change of life, and that all of us would recognize that our worth is not in how much we have or where we live or what we're trying to acquire. And that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So as we eat the bread, Lord, we ask you to bless it and help us to realize and to experience the blessing of the body of Jesus Christ. Let us experience that, Lord, as we eat into that bread. Let us experience the body of Christ. To know that we're loved, know that we're forgiven. So, Father, so bless the bread. And we ask you to bless the wine, and that we will know that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that his blood covered all of our sins. And therefore, our worth is not in what we own. Our worth and our value is not what we're trying to attain, but is in Jesus Christ. So let's eat and let us drink. And let us come away new, new in Jesus Christ. So let's sing and play the song, My Worth is Not in What I Own. Let's play that.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill nor name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
As summer flies, we fade and die. Fade youth and beauty hurry by. But life eternal calls to us at the cross. Thank you. two wonders here that